The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. For more information about the center, or for halachic services and resources, please call 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Zvachim Davnun Dalid. The Gemara, Hanamad Aleph, going to the Amid Beis, has a braisa that describes how they built the Mizbeach. The Gemara explains how they took a mold and they would put inside the mold little stones with some other material that was able to connect all the little stones and to make it to me, it became like a cement. And they had these little stones, which Mefarshim say came from the ocean. Little pieces of stone that Misheshes and Mevirashes were that size. If you go to like the beach sand, and there's lots of little pieces of stone. Sand is really stone. And if you took that sand and make it into like a cement type of some type of cement chemistry, some type of thickness and connected, I'm not sure what you want to call it, cement type of idea. And from that, they would fill the mold with all of that material. And from that, they would build a Mizbeach, and with that, they would have a Mizbeach that was built out of stone. And it was stones that were complete from Sheishis and Mevirashis. And there was also no need to cut the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, why did they have to make a mold? Why couldn't they just make it whatever it would be and then afterwards cut it? So the Gemara says, they have to have Avonim Shleimos. The Pasuk says you have to build the Mizbeach out of complete stone. And therefore the Mizbeach has to be exactly smooth without any bumps. And if they're going to cut it, it's not going to be smooth. It's not going to be completely smooth. Now, Tosfos says we could have said another thing. We could have said, L'sanef aleihem barzel. How would we have cut it? We would have needed a iron, some type of metal knife, saw, or the like to cut it. And the Torah also says that we're now allowed to cut the Mizbeach with iron. So Tosfos says in a Chanami, the Gemara here was Mekatzer. Really, the Gemara means the same thing. We couldn't have used anything iron because the Torah says you're not allowed to put iron on the Mizbeach. And if you can use something else, it's not going to be smooth. So in a Chanami, both things are true. We need to have stones that are complete from Sheishis and Mevirashis. We also cannot use iron. We can't use iron to cut them. And it has to be very smooth. And the only way to have that is if you have stones from Sheishis and Mevirashis and put them into a mold like the way the Gemara describes. So Tosfos comes up and Tosfos has a new question. Tosfos asks, why didn't they use a shamir? Why did they have to build the Mizbeach with a mold? They could use a shamir. There was a shamir worm that the Gemara says that they used it in different parts of building the Beis HaMikdash. And they could have used that for the Mizbeach. The shamir is not iron. And it would cut. So the chayra, that would be a good way to build the Mizbeach. And the Gufa used it to use on the stones of the Beis HaMikdash, because there they didn't want to use iron, and they used the shamir. So why couldn't they use the shamir for building the Mizbeach? So Tosfos says, don't tell me that they didn't have the shamir in the Bayis Sheni. Perhaps you'll tell me the Gemara is explaining how they built the Mizbeach during Bayis Sheni in the second Beis HaMikdash. And you'll tell me that in the second Beis HaMikdash there was no shamir, and that's why the Gemara has to explain that they built a mold. So Tosfos, that's not true. They had the shamir in the Bayis Sheni. Tosfos brings a couple of rayas that they had the shamir in the Bayis Sheni. First of all, Tosfos says So the Gemara says that when the Nevi'im died, there was no longer Urim V'Tumim. Now, the Nevi'im pretty much were not there anymore by the... There was just a few Nevi'im at the beginning of Ba'i Yashayni. And the Beis HaMikdash was still in existence. And they needed to build things even quite after the Nevi'im died. Okay, so 1 minute, we'll see further. But when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then the Shamir was no longer. So the Gemara, when the Gemara says the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's referring to a later period. When the Nevi'im died, then there's no Urim V'Tumim. But when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, in other words, when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, from then on, they did not have the Shamir. So that's referring to the second Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara's Mevur says Toisvis that during the whole second Beis HaMikdash, they had the Shamir. So why couldn't they use the Shamir for the Mizbeach, for cutting the Mizbeach? Also, Toisvis says, there's a Gemara that says that the whole story with Dama ben Esina, they once needed stones for the ephod, and they heard that the person Dama ben Esina has them, and it's a famous story. They went to him and they offered him a price, and he said the keys are under his father's head and his father's sleeping, didn't want to wake his father up, etc., etc. And b'chol oifen, that story happened in the times of Ba'i Yesheni, in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, and to have Avnei Ephod, we need to use a Shamir. So it must be that during the second Beis HaMikdash, they still had the Shamir. So Tosfos comes to an answer, why is it that they didn't use the Shamir to cut the Mizbeach? Says Tosfos, because the Shamir did not cut straight. It would cut it. But if you need to have a straight cut, that's mamish straight, that the Shamir was not able to do. It was able to cut, but not perfectly straight. Not straight enough for what we need for the Mizbeach. Tosfos asks a question, if so, how could they use it for the stones of the Beis HaMikdash? The stones of the Beis HaMikdash also had to be Evan Shlema, the Pasuk says. Also had to be complete and not very straight. So Tosfos leaves with the question how they were able to use it for the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. But the bottom line is that Tosfos says they had the Shamir in the Ba'i Yesheni, and it couldn't be used for the Mizbeach, because we needed to have a straight side. The Mizbeach had to be very smooth and straight, and the Shamir would not be able to do a good enough job. And that's why we needed a mold. Tosfos also, Toich Dvarov, Tosfos said that the Shamir was used to cut the stones of the Avnei Ephod, and was able to write things and cut things. Some Poskim use this whole sugi of Shamir to learn a practical halach. The Chuvis, Nishal David, and later Chuvis as well, were asked about writing Ksav Storim. People that wanted to send their friend a secret. So there was a trick that people used to use. They would write on a paper with certain types of liquids. Liquid from onions, liquid from lemon, and the ksav would get absorbed in the paper, and to the naked eye, the paper looked like it was a blank paper, but really, there was something written on, and if you would put it by fire, then it would warm up, and then you would be able to see what was written on the paper. So the question is, are you allowed to warm up the paper on Shabbos to make the letters become visible? So the Nishal David says that don't worry about cooking up that liquid. That would not be a problem at all, because you're not intending to cook it. It's not going to get so hot. You're just making it not so cold. You're just raising the temperature of the liquid. You're not cooking it. So it's nothing to do with cooking. There's no issue of cooking. Elamai, says the Nishal David, what will you say? Perhaps it's writing. So he says, but l'chayr is not true, because the writing was there already before Shabbos. He's not writing it on Shabbos, he's just making the words become visible. However, He says, you're right, the words were written, but he's causing that the words are now becoming visible. So he's causing it. He's causing the visibility of the words, so that should be like writing it. And he says, I'll bring you a raya that causing the letters to become visible is not considered it must be that it is considered a problem. Says the Nishal David, I'll bring you a raya that is a problem, and it's a daraisotika problem. Why? The Gemara says you're not allowed to build the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos. Now, why couldn't they do some of the building on Shabbos? Let them take the shamir worm and cut stones with the shamir worm on Shabbos. Because they're not really cutting. They're just putting the shamir worm, and the shamir worm is going to cut. So why couldn't they build the Beis HaMikdash by using the shamir, do at least some parts of building the Beis HaMikdash, by using the shamir worm? And we know they couldn't do any of the building of the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Says the Nishal David, it must be that even causing the thing to happen is also considered a malacha on Shabbos. It's also prohibited. He's entertaining the possibility that this type of thing of putting something down, which somehow causes that it gets cut or that it gets written, is going to be considered like cutting or doing writing on Shabbos. And therefore it's prohibited to go ahead and put this paper by a fire to make the words become visible, just like they weren't allowed to put the shamir worm and stones on Shabbos. It's perhaps raya you could be mefalpel about. There's room to disagree on his proof. And in fact, there is a pri megadim in Yerachayim Simen Shemem Mishpat Zov Sivkot and Gimel that discusses his exact case of the people that would write secrets on such papers and then warm it up on Shabbos. And the Prima Godim discusses, are we allowed to warm it up on Shabbos? And the Prima Godim says, it's not awesome in Atoira, but it is awesome in the Rabbanon. Even though there's no Chiyuv Chatos, says the Prima Godim, but it is awesome in the Rabbanon, since it's similar to writing. Now the Prima Godim doesn't explain under what his reasoning is. He doesn't say why it's not considered to the shamir. Well, I think that there's perhaps ways to answer why it's not considered like the shamir. The shamir is something that's first of all, it's not clear that they couldn't use the shamir, and also if that's the way of building the shamir, perhaps. If that's the way they cut the stones, it could be that's more of a regular way of cutting. But perhaps making letters become visible, writing in the way of making letters become visible through putting it over fire, perhaps is not considered so regular. And perhaps that's why it's the Rabbanon. Whatever the reasoning of the Prima Godim is, the bottom line is that the Prima Godim says that making the letters become visible with this form is only prohibited midrabbanan. It's interesting to note that the Prima Godim is metzayin that these are really a Yushalmi. Really, these are Yushalmi Perek HaBoyne that discusses this. Kimat the same case that people would write it down in a certain way on a paper and it was invisible, and later on they would put something else, another liquid, on the paper, and then the letters would become visible. And the Yushalmi there actually says that he is Chayiv Chatos. So I'm not sure why the Prima Godim believes that his case has a different halacha than the Yushalmi. He himself says that the Yushalmi discusses it. He was well aware of the Yushalmi, and nevertheless he said it's only prohibited midirabbana. So I'm not sure why. There is a Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Zayin Simchav Beis that brings down this Yushalmi. And he also brings down a Gemara in Gittin. And therefore, the Menchas Yitzchak entertains that it's passively a Isidai Reis of writing. And he is in disagreement with the Prima Gaudin. He doesn't quote the Prima Gaudin. But he has a Raya from the Gemara Gittin as well as this Yerushalmi that we mentioned. And he says, therefore, it's a Raya that it's prohibited Minat Torah. Now, the Shmir Shabbos Gelchazah does bring down this Prima Gaudin and does seem to accept the Prima Gaudin lehalacha. So there's a little bit of ambiguity, at least by me, why it is that such a thing should only be derabbanan if the Yerushalmi says quite clearly that it's a deraisa. And however, at the end of the day, there is a Minchas Yitzchak that does say it's deraisa, but on the other hand, there's a Prima Gaudin that says it's derabbanan, and the Shmir Shabbos Gelchazah follows the Prima Gaudin. Let's go to the next step. Now, we're, in today's day, is such a thing very practical. Today's day, there's such a thing as a thermometer. It's perhaps nowadays not as common as it used to be, but we have other things that could be learned out of this next thing that I'm going to say. A number of years ago, it was quite common to use a thermometer. They came out with a strip thermometer. Strip thermometer is basically like a strip of plastic, and inside is some material like a liquid crystal that registers the temperature by changing the color. This chemical will change the color or cause a part of the strip to change color when the temperature changes. And it was common at a certain point to use this kind of thermometer to measure people's temperature to see if they have fever. And Poskim discussed, is it permitted or prohibited to use such a thermometer on Shabbos? So this is a kind of thing where if the thermometer goes and shows letters, so those letters were hidden, and now those letters are becoming visible by that they're put on the person's forehead, by that they are becoming heated up with the body heat of the person's forehead. So, the Minchas Yitzchak in his tshuva was really discussing this. And he's concerned about using such a thing because it's like we have this Yerushalmi that such a thing is writing. By warming it up, by putting some other substance on the paper, even though the letters are there already, but now you're making the letters become visible, that is considered kaisev, that's considered writing minat Torah. However, comes the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Shmir Shabbos Gelchasa, and Shlomo Zalman said that no, it's not a problem, at least some cases, we'll see soon, some cases are not a problem. He says, at the very least, it's not a deraisa. It's definitely not biblically prohibited to use such a thermometer strip. And the reason is because this writing is not going to last. It's a ksiva she'ina miskayemes. It's a ksiva that doesn't last. As soon as you take the strip off the person's forehead, the letters will disappear again like they were originally. And therefore, it's definitely not a deraisa. So once it's not a deraisa, it's at the derabbana level, it's much easier to be mekel and say svaras lekula. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, there's another reason to be mekel. He says, if the way apparently many of these thermometer strips were made was that the letters were already recognizable before they were put onto the person's forehead, really you could see the letters, just that the letters or numbers would change color with the change of temperature. So says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, if they're recognizable, they're just changing color, that's not considered writing. At least we could say that if the person has a good enough reason, if there's a chayli involved, we could rely that changing the color of something is not a problem of writing. It's not a problem of writing. Perhaps it's toiveya, considered dying. which again, it's only temporary dying, and at least for somebody who's sick, that they have a good enough reason, we could permit them to use a strip thermometer. So the Rebbe Zalman says we could permit using the strip thermometer as long as the letters are recognizable before you put it on the forehead. And it doesn't bother us that the letters or numbers change color. And the reason being, even though perhaps there's a little bit of an issue of making the numbers change color, but the issue of making them change color is, which is for sure, the whole thing is only derabanan, there's a good svara to say, at least we can be makel if he is sick. If he has a good enough reason because he's sick. Now there's another case where Reb Shlomo Zalman talks about a very similar question, and that is by people that have these glasses that have sunglasses, the lens has some type of a material in them, chemical or something in them, that they'll change into sunglasses, they'll change color when he goes into the light, when he'll go into the sun. They're meant to be that, like, they're like sunglasses, they can have protection from the sun, and they'll only turn into sunglasses when a person goes into the sun. So here it's the same type of thing, that there's something that's changing color because of a temperature or because of light, whatever it is, again, it's changing color. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, before we said when it came to this thermometer strip, they were only permitting it because he's sick. Now the people that want to use these glasses, they want to use it even though they're not sick. They want to use it maybe just for convenience. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, nevertheless it's permitted. And the reason is because, like we said, it's something that doesn't last. So it's for sure only under Rabbanan. And not only that, it's like something that goes back and forth, back and forth. So it's perhaps not even awesome under Rabbanan. It's like made to open and close. It's like a bottle cap that you untie it and you tie it back. It's something that you made to do. It's like a chair and a table that you open up. It's meant to open and close. It changes color back and forth, back and forth. It goes from brown to clear. It's meant to go back and forth. Besides for that, says Shlomo Zalman, the whole thing is a grama. You're not doing an action of changing the color. It's happening on its own. You're going outside, and then it happens on its own that it changes the color. So it says, Shlomo Zalman, since it's happening on its own, you're directly doing an action of doing it, therefore Shlomo Zalman permits it. So Shlomo Zalman says, even though by the thermometer strip, I prohibited it, unless there was a chayli, unless there was someone sick, there was a good enough reason of chayli, here, that it's only changing the color without a direct act of doing it, here I permit it, even though there's no tzarich of chayla. Now, even if the thermometer strip is not so popular, and even if this type of sunglasses is not so popular, there's other cases where where this shayla comes up. Today, there are many different types of tests. That the way the test is done is by putting some type of strip into the urine or into the person's saliva. And with that, they're able to test many different things. Many different things that are going on in the body could be detected with these types of tests. And the question is it permitted? So here it's the same type of shayla like we had during the whole shiur. Some of these tests might come up with letters, so then it's going to be the question of Kosev, which is, if the letters were not visible before, then we have a real serious Shaila, and is likely, even if Shlomo Zalman did not permit it B'makom Chayli, when it's creating the letters. Many times, it's not writing any letters, it's just making a line or a dot, a color, it's just changing the color from white to red, from white to something. So then it's a matter of changing the color. So then you don't have Kosev, but you do have Tzoveya. Now in those cases, you don't even have the heter that it goes back and forth, back and forth. It's not like the sunglasses that change back and forth, change back and forth. And this, however, most of the times that people are doing these tests, it's actually for Chayli. So, I'm not going to give the answer to that question. I just want to bring out how this shaila, this discussion, really has many practical applications. What we did say, based on the poskim we mentioned, is that the thermometer strip, if you could see the letters or numbers, is permitted, and that the sunglasses, according to most poskim, is permitted. These other cases where you can't see the letters and numbers before you use it, where it's a strip and the coloring is going to stay there forever, though those I'm not going to give a final answer about. The person should ask their poisik and find out the shaila. I will just mention one more thing, that this shaila of the sunglasses, it's brought down that Eliyashiv disagreed with the Pshleim Azalman Ayyabach. Eliyashiv was of the opinion that these glasses that change color, he held as a problem of Tzoveya, and a person is not allowed to wear them on Shabbos. Anecdotally, there's a story said about the daughter of Eliyashiv, who was married to the son of Pshleim Azalman Ayyabach. So one time, so as we said in this year, Pshleim Azalman Ayyabach permitted wearing such glasses, and Eliyashiv prohibited wearing such glasses on Shabbos. So one time she was in the glasses store, and the store owner, the salesman, wanted to offer her this type of glasses. And she said, "I'm sorry, but I can't purchase such glasses because my father prohibits them and my father-in-law permits them." So someone else in the store, I don't know if it was the store owner or another person there, and said, "You mean your father and your father-in-law? That's who you ask your shaylas to? Why don't you go to a paisik?" Little did this onlooker know that she didn't have too much. She was would have been quite hard for her to find a bigger paisik than her father and her father-in-law to give an answer to this shaila. With this, I will conclude this shir.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.